The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 126 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill and we have a very special guest host this afternoon or this evening or this morning, wherever you're watching around the world. I'm delighted to say he's back from the dead. BBC commentating legend John Motson joins me today. How you doing, John?
Because I'm wearing a jacket that looks like the jacket from back in the day when John Motson was
very John Motson
at the BBC.
And remember you had that amazing story about how you met John Motson?
At the bar.
That was a really good story.
And he had gravy down his shirt.
Yeah, exactly. And he was
steaming. I'm going to remove this jacket if you're just going to rip the piss all afternoon.
What's that, John?
Don't start this.
No, you're going to have to take it off because we've already got one John. He's producer John, so yeah. You'll have to take the jacket off.
I'm taking the jacket off. I got it from River Island. Do you think it's a nice jacket?
It's not for me, but you know, listen.
Would you not wear it?
No, but everyone's got different tastes. I wouldn't slag people for what
I
they
think
wear.
You could carry this jacket off.
Ewan, when we get to the correspondence, there has been some comments on your dress sense.
What do you mean?
No, there has been. There has been, actually.
Do I try the jacket on?
Yeah, I'll try it on.
Let's see if, see if you can carry it off.
You're thinner than me.
Remember Terry Christie used to wear a duffel coat as well, the former Stennis Muir manager? Always famous for his kind of duffel coat. Terry Christie?
Oh, no, you suit that, mate. You'd get away with that.
What do you think? I look all right with that? What we're thinking?
Oh, aye.
Actually, I'll actually look all right with this. I look all right. I might just keep it on for the rest of the... It does look... I'm sure my mum's got a jacket like this.
it's a little bit Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, it's a wee bit. It's a wee bit. No, it's all right, though.
You actually genuinely do suit that. If you were to wear that with a white T-shirt,
it's too
look
hot.
Great. It's very warm, though. But if you were to wear that with a white T-shirt, you could carry that off quite easily. In fact, I hate to say it, you'd probably carry off better than me.
Yeah.
Thank you to Stephen for... I just dropped on the floor, you prick.
Why didn't you just hand it back to me instead of throwing it on the floor?
I was trying to put it on the seat there. Right. Oh, you're putting it on the back of your seat. Yeah. Right, okay, that's fine.
For a quick escape when I lose at the quiz.
Aye, listen, that's negative. I'm not having any of that. How was your weekend anyway, Ewan? Was it all right?
Weekend was good, but there's something I noticed that really does my tits in.
Right.
I mean, proper annoys me. I was in the supermarket the weekend, and I hate when people squeeze rolls.
Like when they go like that?
They pick up the bag of rolls, give it a right good squeeze.
And then it sometimes if they're crispy, it pierces the top of the roll.
And then they put them back down, they go into another bag of rolls and squeeze it, and then put it back. I've also noticed, I kind of like stood back and just watched what was going on in the bakery section. Just to observe.
What a weekend it was for you. Just observing people in the bakery section. Right, okay.
So not only were people squeezing the rolls that were in the cellophane packet to see how fresh they were, how soft they were, and if they didn't quite like the feel of it, they were putting them back down, but they were actually squeezing rolls that were out. You know, and you've got the tongs. But
were they squeezing them with the tongs?
No. But they were just lifting the rolls and then not having that one, then putting them in the bag, putting them in the bag.
I've got a real issue with that sort of self-service roll thing. It gives me the bulk a wee bit.
And also the thing is, self-service rolls, self-service like...
I was going to the back just in case.
The muffins and everything.
Yeah.
But they're just sat out there all day in the cool air, the hot air, people coughing and spluttering, sneezing, flies... Who in their right mind is buying bakery goods that have been sat out all day, whether it be cakes, muffins, rolls, bread? I can't eat stick bread because the top end of it is out the cellophane wrapper.
Mm.
And if I do buy a stick bread, I cut that bit off at the top and give it to my wife.
Right. I thought you were going to say you were going to give it to the birds or something like that. No, you give that to your
wife. Give that to the wife. And here's another thing that I noticed as well in the supermarket that really pisses me off and teases me off. People do the same thing with fruit. They'll pick up apples, give them a squeeze, like properly in the palm of their hands and squeeze it and then put it back down again.
Yeah, people are minging. I don't know if you heard, but we had a sort of global pandemic a couple of years ago. And the reason everything had to be shut down is because people are minks.
I mean, proper minks.
Yeah.
Awful. I mean, it's just not nice at all. Where's the etiquette?
Just touching stuff.
Touching stuff. It's not yours. It's not yours.
I'll tell you what. I'll give you a great example of this. So during COVID, I was meant to go to New York on holiday. Now, obviously, that didn't happen.
I remember when it didn't happen.
So instead, we went to Crieff, which is slightly different from New York, right?
Uh-huh.
The Perthshire town that never sleeps.
Yeah.
You know? I actually quite like Crieff. Crieff's a nice place, right? So it was at the stage where we had to sit outside for everything, right? Mm-hmm. And sat outside having a couple of drinks, and I ordered some food. And I ordered, I can't remember, it was like, say it was halloumi fries. I think it was halloumi fries, actually. And with it was a small tub of sweet chilli dip.
Right.
And anyway, I'm sitting and I'm like, they're taking an awfully long time with these, like, halloumi fries. I was like, it's taking a time. I was like, and that table just come in and they've just got, like, a wee tub of, it looked like sauce.
Uh-huh.
And I'm saying, like, that's a bit odd. I think there's maybe been a mix-up here. I was like, the halloumi fries are probably just about to arrive, but, you know, I think that might be my sweet chilli dip. And there's these people, and they're like that with a dip, right? Like, just
tasting
eating,
it.
Eating the dip, dipping their fingers in, right? And then the waitress comes across, and she goes to their table saying, halloumi fries? And they go, oh, no, no, we've not ordered any food. Right? And then I was like, oh, yeah, I was like, that's here. And they're like, oh, right, so this must be your dip then. Do you want your dip? And I was like, no, because I've just watched you. I was like, a couple of things here. I've just watched you dipping your fingers in the dip and sucking it off your fingers. But at no point did you go, well, why are they giving us sweet chilli dip when we've not ordered any food?
And then they also know that they've been dipping their fingers in it and they're still willing to hand it over to you.
Of course. So I was like, what's wrong with you? And they were like, oh, well, calm down, mate. And I was like, no, but wait there now. I was like, if I'm at a table...
Did you turn this into a drama?
Yes. So I was like, if I'm sat at a table and somebody puts down a sweet chilli dip in front of me when I've not ordered food, I would say...
That's not mine.
That's not mine.
I didn't order that.
Like a normal person would.
Like you do.
I certainly wouldn't let them sit it down and then stick my fingers in it and start scooping it out with my finger. And then when it becomes apparent that you hadn't done it and it's the table behind, go, all right, that must be yours then. So they were Welsh, right?
Right.
Now, I don't know what the etiquette is in Wales. I don't know if we've got any Welsh listeners can maybe inform us, but maybe if you go to Wales, is it just free?
A free for all.
So if something gets put down in front of you, regardless of whether it is, you know, a condiment or someone else's food, you just rifle in it, regardless of whether you've ordered it or not. Like mental behaviour from that person.
I've got a similar story, and I can't name the restaurant because I don't want to get sued or get any letters or anything. So I was in a restaurant many, many years ago, and I've never been back to this restaurant. Well-known restaurant. And I was there with my kids, my wife, and the mother-in-law. And it was a really busy restaurant. So we're sat waiting for our food. We've made our order, waiting on our food to arrive. And the table next to us, there was a table of four, a mum, a dad, and a couple of kids. And the person who was serving the food brought the four plates down, balanced on each arm. So two plates on one arm, two plates on the other. But one of the plates was over the top of the other plate of food. So when they lifted the plate off, which was nearest to their hand, when they lifted off, there was food stuck to the bottom of the plate. Mm-hmm. And they served it. So there was food at the bottom of the plate because they'd obviously been resting on it to serve it. And I witnessed this. And this family said nothing. And they just accepted it. And they started eating their dinner. And I said to my wife, and I said to the kids and my mother-in-law, I goes, if they come down with the food served like that, we're walking out. So what happens? They come down the stairs with the food and it's balanced on top of each other. And my mother-in-law had ordered, what's that thing you get with a fried egg on top, that bit of meat?
Gammon.
Gammon with a pineapple?
Yeah.
Is it, and you get a fried egg with it?
I would forgo the pineapple and just have a fried egg if I'm having a gammon
steak.
Well,
the yolk was burst.
Right.
So you can imagine underneath one of the plates, dripping yolk. They lifted it up and they put it down in front of me, in front of my mother. I went, well, what are you doing? Oh, we're serving you dinner. He goes, no, you're not. Take that back. What do you mean? I cause a fuss and explain what I'd witnessed with the other family and that I wasn't going to be eating that and I won't be eating it. And see, the starter that we had and the drinks that we've had, we ain't paying for that either. So we caused a bit of a scene. My wife walked out, the kids walked out, and the mother-in-law walked out. And I sat there and I'm going to finish my drink. The manager came over, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I explained to them what had happened. And it, only at that point did the fucking family across from me going, yeah, they did the same to me. And I went, well, if you'd fucking said something to begin with, I wouldn't be having this argument.
Exactly.
They said nothing. They just accepted it. And it was me that looked like the fucking bad gent. I've never been back since. And it's a restaurant in Falkirk as well, producer John.
Is it the Bean Cross?
Oh, is it?
Is it the Bean Cross?
I don't know what it was.
It's the Bean Cross, isn't it?
I don't know what it is.
It's the Bean Cross. By the way, you can say because it's closed.
It's okay.
It's closed down.
It's
closed down.
Changed to a Chinese buffet now.
Yeah. Is it the Bean Cross?
Yes.
Yeah, it was the Bean Cross. Right. Okay. Right. That's fine. Yeah. I don't think.
How did you know? Why did you say that?
Because the Bean Cross we used to go to quite often before Dunfermline Falkirk games.
Oh, okay.
Falkirk.
Yeah, it
so
was
we used to go quite
just,
a lot.
Oh, I was so angry.
Yeah, but it's closed down now.
But
it's
like what you're
buffet.
Saying, similar to what happened with the people next to you, they just tucked into it. And people don't say or do anything. They don't.
No, I think while all that's a bad story, I think it's slightly different. If somebody puts something down in front of you that you have not ordered
and scoops it
and
up.
You just start scooping it up anyway, that's absolute mental behaviour.
Right. So I'm talking the weekend. I watched a movie at the weekend. Can I get my music, please? And what I'm going to say about the movie that I watched at the weekend, what a size of a penis.
Oh, really?
You've seen it as well.
I've. What, the penis or the film? Or
both.
Both. Right, okay.
You not know?
No.
Yeah. Boogie Nights.
No. Boogie Nights is a great film, but it's not that. We discussed it. You and I discussed the penis.
Backdoor Babes 3? Backdoor Babes 4, was it?
It's a horror.
A horror?
You watched it. You told me about it.
Did I?
Uh-huh.
Did I?
Yeah, you did. Just recently out. Oh, come on, Stephen. What film have you watched recently where there was a penis in it?
Was it that thing from last year, Ewan?
No, it's not last year. It's this year. Everyone's talking about the penis.
That thing that everyone was talking about last year on Amazon. And it had the tunes in it.
Oh, yeah, not that. No, it's not that. No, yeah. You're talking about... it's not that one. It's...
Driller.
It's not Driller.
It's meant to be like Thriller.
What's the horror?
It's meant to be like Thriller, but it's called Driller.
No. What's the horror?
The story of John Wayne Bobbitt.
Dracula!
Apartment of the Erotic Horror.
Dracula? Oh, my God, Stephen! Nosferatu!
Nosferatu, I have seen that.
Aye,
I wouldn't say a big penis. I'd say a skinny penis.
Yeah, but it was. It's a long skinny penis.
A long skinny penis.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
But there's that. But that was the first thing you said to me when you watched the movie.
Skinny legs as well. At
aye,
the end.
Aye. But you did say to me that was the first. That was the thing that you remembered about the movie.
Aye, because it was all right.
I think it's good. It's an entertaining film.
Yeah, it was all
Nosferatu.
Right.
Nosferatu. I mean, it's a very well-known movie from, I think, the 1930s originally, 1920s.
And they can't call it Dracula because they didn't own the rights to call it Dracula.
It was called Nosferatu.
Yeah.
So, and that's the new version by some guy called Edgar, who wrote, directed the movie.
John Edgar.
Yeah. John Edgar.
Yeah.
Great film.
David Edgar, it was.
Great film.
David Edgar making his directorial debut.
So there's a few jokes there. There's a few jokes.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Did you not enjoy it?
It was good. Aye, it was all right. It's fine.
And you weren't impressed by the penis thing because you couldn't remember it.
No, now that you've
raised it,
raised the penis,
which wasn't in the film.
It was not. No.
But
I thought it was kind of a bit skinny.
Aye.
I would prefer it to see in that state than as opposed to
angry.
Mm-hmm. So was that your film review?
That's what
you know what?
Because I get the piss ripped out of me every week for saying too much when it comes to movies and TV shows.
So on Saturday on the Big Scottish Football Show, during one of the breaks, you were saying I was telling a story about something and it was involving an arms dealer. Right?
Yes, that's right.
And you were like, have you seen that film about the two guys who become arms dealers?
True story.
And it's Jonah Hill, we managed to work out eventually, that was in it. And I was like, nah. And you were like, it's called War Dogs. So I went home that night and I watched it. And it's a very good film.
It's very good. It's a true story as well, but two young guys.
But what you did was, you explained most of the plot to me again.
I know, I'm sorry.
And I was like, can you please shut up, Ewan? I'd quite like to watch this film.
And I gave away some key moments in the movie as well.
You did. You absolutely
and I,
did.
I've got a really bad habit of it, so I'm saying nothing else about Nosferatu other than there's a penis in it.
Right.
So look out for that.
Look out for that. Yeah, exactly. It's hard to miss it, really.
It is.
One point.
And one more thing for you.
Uh-huh.
Got a wee joke for you. Now, why are you getting Why'd you get so moody with this?
I told you this wasn't becoming a thing. You and shit joke of the week.
What's the difference between a red lentil and a chickpea?
I don't know. What's the difference between a red lentil and a chickpea?
I've never had a real lentil. See, you laugh.
That's quite good. That was good, actually.
See, Stephen, I've got him.
That is good. Got him.
You can't say that.
That's quite good, actually. Yeah. Right. That's your best one yet. Uh-huh. That is your best one yet. That's your best one yet.
Got another one for you.
No. Don't ruin it.
No, but this is good.
No, don't ruin it.
But this is good.
No, don't ruin it. Save it for next week.
Okay. Well, I'm not here next week. I'm on holiday.
You're always on holiday. Never here.
Shut up. I'll happily come on the show next week if you want to FaceTime
Roland
me.
Roland Rivron, or whatever your name is.
I mean, I'll happily come on the show next week for a laugh.
Nah, you're not right.
While I'm having a cocktail by the pool.
Nah.
Oh, come on. Come on, can I just come on FaceTime? Well, we got him on FaceTime when he was abroad.
You could be like James Richardson.
Yeah, because I was in the Euros.
You could be like James Richardson sitting with a big cocktail in the Gazette at Ella Sports.
Yeah. That'd be good.
Right, I'll come on next week from my holiday destination.
And to tell us the joke.
Tell us the joke, yes.
Exactly. Aye. Ewan's holiday joke next week. Right, okay then. Let's get to some feedback from last week. Larbert High School alumni. Kenny Black also went to Larbert High School, according to...
The former Hearts player.
James Jenkins. No.
Kenny Black was at the Hearts.
Kenny, well, before my time, I was thinking of Ian Black.
Yeah, yeah, Kenny Black was at Hearts. Right, okay. Anyway, Airdrie's most famous for, though.
He's not.
Joe says Glasgow City manager Leanne Ross went to Larbert High. I played with her in the girls' football team. Paul Cassidy says, can't see Sweaty Octopus on the Larbert High Wikipedia page, but it was edited 20 hours ago at 12:40 Tuesday afternoon. It would have been Monday afternoon, because that's when I edited it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Wikipedia took it down, John, so you're no longer on the famous alumni.
What a shame.
So they've actually checked to see if you're famous enough to be on the Wikipedia page, and they've clearly said no.
Shout out to Ryan, though, who put Ewan onto the Tynecastle High alumni.
Yes.
I think that's been taken down as well. But how? Ewan is genuinely a star, a celebrity.
Exactly, you've been on Channel 5.
Exactly.
Like, you have your own Wikipedia page.
There you go. So Ryan actually put me on the Tynecastle High School Wikipedia page, and it's been removed.
I believe so.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, who else has come out of the Tynecastle High School that's as big a name as me?
Did Judith Ralston not go to Tynecastle High?
Judith Ralston?
I think she did.
I can phone and ask her.
Here we go. The first name drop off.
Oh, God almighty, you're turning this into something that's not. I'm not a name dropper.
So, notable alumni for Tynecastle High School, we've got Keith Brown, who is, I think, the SNP deputy leader. Yeah. Jason Cummings, Paul Hanlon, Tom Hunter.
Oh.
Not that Tom Hunter.
Hi, Judith. Just a quick question for you. We're discussing here which famous people have been to Tynecastle High. Did Judith Ralston go to Tynecastle High?
No. She went to St. Augustine's.
Ooh.
I'm a left footer, as they call it.
Ah, right, okay.
Those of my pals went to Tiny.
But you didn't, because somebody suggested that you were a famous person who went to Tynecastle High.
No, a lot of my friends did.
Right, okay. Sorry to bother you, Judith, we just needed to get clarification on that.
Okay.
What's the weather like today?
Weather's getting colder and dry with a few showers. A cold week ahead, so I'm sitting my Grado, hold on, say hello.
What are you saying,
tip mate?
You good?
How are you doing, bud? You all right? Are you doing that Scotland programme with Judith?
Aye, it's me and her together. You not been talking up on your radio show this morning?
No, we're on the podcast just now talking about Judith and whether or not she was at Tynecastle High. What school did you go to?
Which school did I go to?
Aye.
Fucking Abbey Academy House.
All right, no, we're just talking about schools and famous people that were in schools.
Oh, Gordon Smith, see if you look up list of famous residents, it says... If you go to Stevenson, it's me and Gordon Smith. Oh, and him that played the darts, would you call him?
Him that played the darts?
Jockey Wilson.
Jockey Wilson?
No, I'm not Jockey Wilson, for Christ's sake. What's his face? Rab.
What are you talking about?
Wait there.
Rab Thornton.
He's a famous Darts player.
Wait a minute, I've got it here.
He won. He was about 10 years ago. He was never asked. He was winning all the competitions.
No.
I met him.
Hold on. We've got clarification.
Grado, he's been taken off. Robert Thornton. He's no longer a famous resident of Stevenson. So you're right. Gordon Smith. You're on it. Andy Auld.
Never heard of him.
He's a former footballer.
Listen, do you know what was funny? I got a picture with Rab once because I met him at the petrol station and I wrote two of Stevenson's finest athletes and it's just two guys with their bellies out. Two of Stevenson's finest athletes.
So where are you? I'm not
allowed to be on this podcast.
You're allowed. Where are you? Where are you with Judith just now?
We're at the BBC because my program's on the night 10:30, Scotland's Greatest Escape Series 3, available now on iPlayer.
You're well trained, mate.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing, mate. Actually, we better go because we're getting tilted quite and I'm shouting and all that.
So, all right, bud. Right. Give my love to Judith. I'll see you soon.
Right, see you later. Bye-bye.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, mate.
Right. Okay, that went
so
in a
Judith,
direction.
So where did you get that feed? Judith was at Tiny High.
I'm sure we had a conversation when she was in doing the breakfast show, co-presenting. I'm sure she said it was Tiny High. But there you go. Well, she had pals there, so
yeah.
they must have come up in conversation and I got mixed up.
Has she got twins? Judith Ralston.
Don't know, but she was a trained opera singer.
She was a trained opera singer. She's really good.
Mm.
She's a really good singer.
I think she has twins because I think my ex possibly delivered them. She was a midwife. she's off the phone now, so we can't ask her. But
so your ex delivered Judith Ralston's twins?
I think so. Yeah. Or certainly had
I know
hand.
She's got kids.
Yeah.
How have we got to this point in the podcast?
I don't know. Well, so let's leave it there.
Get back to the reaction.
Yes, 11 Sebi says, my wee neighbour went to the opening of our new local Tesco. When I asked who opened it, she said she didn't know, but looked like Heston Blumenthal from Wish and a homeless man. And I'm guessing you're the homeless man, John.
I'm guessing so.
More on shitting in gardens. So,
oh, is this still going on?
Codjar says, I had a mate who would do a keek in other people's houses so often that we called him Jobby John. It's a wonder he didn't walk into our houses with a newspaper under his arm. James Burnett says, you and Cameron talks about doing the toilet in someone's garden. How would you wipe your bum after you've done the toilet?
A docking leaf.
Does he use his hands?
No, a docking leaf. That's what I used to do back in the day.
Aldo says, you and shitting in the desert and covering it up like a cat is not an image I need in my head on a Monday morning at work. So I think we can close that particular shitty case.
But somebody sent me a clip. Send me a clip.
Right.
Still game.
Yeah.
I've got it here. I've got a clip for still game. And you've got Jack and Victor who are in the house. And who walks in but Winston? And Winston would appear as though, from what you hear from this clip, regularly turns up at Jack's house and goes in and does a number two. And Jack's no happy about it. So here's the clip, right? Hold on a wee second. Here's a wee clip.
I've been coming here, I've never done that.
Done what?
Saved up a big dirty number two and then dropped it half at a pal's house. It's a height of bloody ignorance, that.
You live across the land and what am I supposed to do? Go to my own house, eh, with one leg when I'm needing...
I think Winston makes a good point.
What point does he make? He's clearly saving up.
Well, not necessarily.
Right.
There's no evidence to suggest that.
Right. I know when it's my time. Yeah. Right, I have a regular, I have a routine. Right, right? So you know your routine of when you have a number two.
Yeah,
and it would appear as though that Winston. Who clearly knows his routine is always quite happy to go into Jack's house and he's going, it's the height of ignorance. Yeah. And I agree with Jack, who's banging the money there from Still Game.
Right, other feedback from last week. David Moore says, I love how Ewan complained about Stephen talking during the quiz and proceeded to talk 90% through the quiz. FFC Fraz, I told my wife the spider joke. I'm now in the process of getting divorced. Cheers for that, Jambo Hibern. Burt Reynolds says, Ewan Cameron in Scottish football's Carol Pilkington says absolutely mental things with no thought or reason and expects everyone to understand his logic. A FUD. Davey Egg or Dave Egg or Davey GG. Ewan said that Liverpool are his second club. He's sounding very passionate when talking about Hibs also. Can we just confirm that this is Ewan's team list? Hearts, Liverpool, Falkirk, Rangers, Hibs, just to clarify.
No.
Okay. Don't know how to say the name. I feel there's not enough said about the midlife crisis dress sense of Ewan Cameron.
I don't know what they mean by that. Go and explain that to me. What's the midlife dress?
People are saying that the way you dress suggests you're having a midlife crisis.
Well, because I might wear a leather jacket. Well, I kind of wear a leather jacket.
Don't have a go at me.
I kind of wear a baseball cap.
A John Motson jacket.
But again, yeah. Those of you who saw the John Motson jacket, I don't think it's that bad at all.
McDonald 1870. Ewan Cameron looks like Jerry Adams with a cap on.
Who's that for?
McDonald 1870.
No.
Also, thank you to the hundreds of people who got in touch to say, the Hibs badge is behind you on the board. Yes, but we're not looking at the board. It's behind us.
That was annoying.
We didn't know.
That was annoying. I'd see during that quiz last week, what's the second word on the Hibs badge? And it's right there.
Yeah.
Right there, and neither of us knew the answer.
Yeah.
Idiots.
But we didn't know that. Right then, stories from the past week. Can someone explain Rangers to me? How did they get beat by Motherwell, St Mirren, Queen's Park at Ibrox, and then go away to Istanbul and, quite frankly, pump Fenerbahce, finish 3-1, could have been 5 or 6. What's happening there, Ewan?
I can't explain it. Nobody can explain it. I thought they were sensational last Thursday.
They were excellent.
I mean, it was one of the best away performances in Europe that I've seen in a number of years. It might in some ways, and some Rangers fans are going to maybe laugh at this, I think it might top Borussia Dortmund. And the reason I say that, let me qualify that, because the mess they're in. The mess that they're in right now. See, under Gerrard, they were doing all right,
mm-hmm.
right? And the fans were generally quite happy. But with the
mess... Well, that was Van Bronckhorst, was it not?
Was that Van Bronckhorst with Borussia Dortmund?
Yeah, it would have been. Well, Van Bronckhorst was the manager in the final.
Oh, so it was. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Yes, yeah, sorry. It was. And they were doing all right then. And they'd won the Scottish Cup that season as well, hadn't they, under Van Bronckhorst as well?
They went on to win the Scottish Cup yeah.
as well. So they had a fairly decent season by getting to a European final. So that's why I think it might be up there with one of the best away performances in Europe for a long, long time, because of the disarray at the boardroom, disarray within the playing squad, the new manager that's come in. And listen, I've got to tip my hat to Barry Ferguson. He said in his media conference that the rest of the coaching staff weren't sure about him going with a back three and wing backs. It worked an absolute treat. And for us to be sat here on a Monday saying that Barry Ferguson outmanaged Jose Mourinho. I mean, I never thought I'd ever say those words ever in my life, but he did on Thursday night.
I did think Fenerbahce were poor. Like, they didn't play well.
But be aware, because of what Jose Mourinho said afterwards, he goes, don't be over-celebrating.
I think the first goal is crucial.
Huge. I'm going to say it now. If Fenerbahce score first, they'll beat Rangers and they'll go through.
I'm just looking at that season as well. You remember, actually, Celtic only won the league by 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't, you know...
A runaway success.
It was a success, obviously.
No, but it wasn't a runaway success in
Rangers
the
were a lot closer and yeah. probably a lot better than they are now. So, yeah, I completely agree with you. I didn't see that coming at
Nobody
all.
Nobody did.
I don't think any Rangers fans saw Nobody that coming did. Either, so...
Everyone who made a prediction was calling it 3-1, 3-0 to yeah. Fenerbahce. Just brilliant, so well done.
So, second leg on Thursday night at Ibrox. Elsewhere, Ben Doak is out of the doubleheader against Greece.
Shit.
He's had surgery.
How long is that keeping him out?
He's back to Liverpool, so they don't know if he'll be able to finish the season for Middlesbrough. So yes, that's disappointing. The Scotland squad is announced tomorrow.
One good bit of news for me is that Lewis Ferguson's back playing regularly.
Billy Gilmore's been playing recently as
played the other night there.
McTominay played really well the other night for Napoli as well. So lots of options in midfield. John McGinn's back playing for Villa, obviously too.
Ryan Christie is outstanding for
Bournemouth. Ryan Christie does have a groin issue that needs surgery and they're managing him. So that's why he didn't play last week in the Cup against Wolves.
Okay.
But he played yesterday against Spurs. So whether Ryan Christie can play both matches is another issue.
I'd keep him for the home game.
Yeah. But we do have options in the midfield, is what I would say. Because he's been playing a bit deeper, Christie, hasn't he?
He's been really good.
Also, probably one to look out for is the boy Hurst from Ipswich.
Flying. Playing well.
So Steve Clark has been down watching him. He does qualify to play with Scotland. He's got England caps at youth level. And also,
are we going to get him?
I don't know. But it's one to look out for
tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So we'll see what happens. I wouldn't imagine there'll be too many other surprises in there. Maybe Kevin Nisbet might sneak into the squad.
Possibly. Is there a good couple of weeks?
So we'll see what happens there.
Penrice, maybe. James Penrice, possibly. An outside chance, I would say. Outside chance.
I think he'll still stick with Taylor, and it'll be Robertson, and I think Tierney will be back in the squad as well.
And I hate to say this to Hearts fans, but I think there's going to be a whole host of clubs chasing him in the summer.
You would say that because you're his stepdad.
Yeah, but I'm not saying anything that I'm not pretending I know something. I don't, yeah. But I just think he's been that good. I think there'll be a whole host of clubs looking at him in the summer.
BBC are going to show Scotland's men's internationals in the run up to the World Cup as well. So that is good that we don't have to watch it on YouTube anymore. So we'll see what happens with that come the double header. Right. Let's get to the football then. And obviously it was Scottish Cup quarterfinal weekend. It all kicked off on Friday night. It was Hearts 3, Dundee 1. I didn't see the game. I was out on Friday night. I was busy. So I'm relying on you here.
Hearts were good.
Deserved win.
Deserved win. We had a wee bit of a sticky patch when Dundee equalised, but then it wasn't long after the equaliser that we got our second. The two goals from Sander Khartoum. I mean, they're already goals this season in the Scottish Cup. They're that good. The two finishes are unbelievably good. I'm still a wee bit concerned that we appear to be light in midfield. Because we're playing the diamond, Beningame is our central midfielder, and as good as he is, he can't do the job of three men. And at times, he was outnumbered in the midfield against Dundee. And Shanklin isn't the type of player that's going to run back and fill help in, yeah. And you know what I mean? So I'm not sure about the diamond. Yeah, we got the result, but I think going forward, I think you need a 4-2-3-1. I would still play Shanklin in behind the striker, but maybe have a Cammy Devlin in there. I know he's out injured at the moment.
Probably don't put him in then.
No, but I would have a two in there. I'd probably put a George Grant in there.
Is he out injured or
no, he's on the bench. So I would go more 4-2-3-1 than I would the diamond that he played. And he played against Hibs. Again, I thought we got overexposed against Hibs. I thought Beningame, as good as he was against Hibs, again, he was outnumbered. So I'd like to see a few changes in the setup at Hearts.
A big weekend for Dundee as well. It's the Dundee Derby on Sunday, and obviously they find themselves in a bit of bother at the bottom of the table. So Dundee really need to start picking up points. I mean, you know, I watched Tony Docherty's interview actually on Saturday morning, and he was saying, you know, once we got it back to 1-1, we should have pressed on, and so you know, we had Hearts where we wanted them basically, and
for 10 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, big weekend for Dundee bouncing back. And they'll love to bounce back in a derby against United at Tannadice. Hearts are playing Ross County on Saturday. Also, on Saturday, it was a bit of a stroll in the park for Aberdeen. Comfortable. 4-1 it was in the end against Queen's Park. But, I mean, Queen's Park didn't really lay a glove on Aberdeen at all. I know they got their consolation goal through Zach Rudden.
Should have been 7 or 8.
But Aberdeen, yeah, it could have been an absolute doon.
You couldn't have handpicked a better...
run to the semis.
Run to the semis. I mean, geez, I mean, they've had a stroll in the park. They've been like warm-up games ahead. And it wouldn't surprise me if they get St Johnstone or Livingston.
Yeah.
And then book their place in the final. It's like getting a bye to the final if they get St Johnstone or Livingston.
But in terms of Aberdeen, you know...
You can't read anything into that result.
You can't read anything into the result.
No.
Even scoring a few goals, getting a wee bit of confidence for guys like Daba.
Doesn't matter. They did that against... Who was the first game in the Scottish Cup they played? Following week they got beat. You can't read anything in there. Okay. I'm sorry, it's Queen's Park who are pretty poor on the day, and Aberdeen just had a bit too much for them.
So Aberdeen into the semi-finals. Aberdeen are away against potential semi-final opponents, St Johnstone, on Saturday.
Are they away in that one?
Yes.
Big game, that.
Queen's Park, I believe, John, take on Falkirk at the National Stadium. Celtic 2, Hibs 0 yesterday. So... pretty comfortable for Celtic, I would say, overall.
Very, very comfortable.
I didn't think Hibs really offered that much. They came to defend, which I was a wee bit surprised by. I thought they would have maybe been a wee bit more attacking. But then, you know, Celtic did push them back. I thought Celtic, you know, were at it yesterday. And
they pressed so well, Celtic.
Yeah.
I mean, they're leagues above the rest of Scottish football.
I know Hibs beat Celtic like 2 weeks ago, which... therefore diminishes the chances that they're going to do it again 2 weeks later. And definitely, when you're playing at Parkhead, it changes things.
Up until the game yesterday, in the 12 domestic games that Celtic had played at Celtic Park, they'd scored 42 goals, and the rest of Scottish football had scored 2.
Who was that? Aberdeen?
I don't know. In the last 12 games, can I tell you? Yeah. Aye. And then yesterday, it turned into 46 goals for Celtic in 13 domestic games, 2 against. That's what you're up against. Ahead of the game, I looked at the odds. Celtic were 1-9 to win. Mm-hmm. Hibs were 16-1. That tells you everything you need to know. Celtic are too good for this league. It's boring. It's expected. Nobody's shocked. Nobody surprised. And I hate to say it, nobody cares. Because you knew that Celtic would win tomorrow, yesterday. You knew it. And it's just a sad indictment in Scottish football at how easy it is for Celtic. And see, halfway through, see in the first couple of months of the season, there was suddenly an excitement about the league because of Aberdeen. It was being talked about in Football Focus. It's been talked about in Five Live. It's been talked about in podcasts with Gary Lineker and Shearer and Roy Keane and Aberdeen this and Aberdeen that. It suddenly put some life into the game. It's all died off. And now, a bit like what happens in Ligue 1 in France, Celtic are like PSG. It's boring. There's no respect for the league. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Celtic are going winning a treble. It'll be, yeah, Celtic win a treble. And that'll be it. Because it's expected. It's really boring. And I wanted Hibs to beat them yesterday. And the idiots online saying to me, how can you want your rivals to win? Because I don't want the best team in Scotland for years getting through, which diminishes my chance, my club, of winning the cup. Of course you want the best team out. Get them out of the play. Get them out of the cup. Gives me a better chance, my club a better chance to win the Scottish Cup. They'll win it. Because see, when you get to Hampden, it doesn't matter who they play at Hampden, whether it be Hearts or Aberdeen, they're going to win that tie. That big pitch, that front three are lightning, that front three are head and shoulders above anything else in Scottish football. It's Premier League versus non-league. That's how it feels, watching Celtic. See, when they're at it, 100% at it, nobody can live with them. Nobody can live with them. And listen, I like watching Celtic because I think they're a really good football inside. And one of my favourite players in the league is Daizen Maeda. The boy is phenomenal. The boy, he's got an engine on him like a player I've never seen in my life before. And his anticipation for that first goal, he knows if that is saved, he's going to be in front of his defender, Rocky Bashiri. And he was there. He anticipated. His movement is first class. But it's just a shame that they're so far ahead of everybody else. And I think there was a stat going around yesterday. Celtic last season spent $65 million on...
wages.
And Hibs had spent...
so not like 10, 11 million?
10, 11 million. There you go. And they're spending 11 million on one player in midfield, 9 million on a striker, 7 million on a winger. We can't compete with that. Listen, Celtic are a joy to watch, but it's boring.
They play Rangers on Sunday.
Good luck, Rangers. You're going to need it. Because they're going to come for the back of a game against Fenerbahce, which is going to be an emotional night, physically difficult as well. And I think Celtic are going to be smarting from that 3-0 defeat.
Celtic will have all week to prepare as well.
That's my point. They're going to be smarting. And did you hear the way that Brendan Rodgers spoke after the game yesterday? He was asked about the Rangers game. He's like, he wants revenge. You could just tell he wants revenge. Yeah, it could be a difficult weekend for Rangers next week.
Okay, game tonight, Livingston versus St Johnstone. What are we thinking for that one? I think it will be fairly tight, to be honest.
I think it will be tight. Could go all the way. Could go extra time and also penalties. I would make St Johnstone slight favourites because they're the Premiership club, and I do think they've got goals in that team of theirs. But I think defensively and the physicality of Livingston could make it a really interesting
Livingston
night.
Livingston have got a lot of experience as well. Even at the back, they've got Danny Wilson, they've got Ryan McGowan,
they have
got
as well.
Pittman in midfield as well. They've also got Stevie May up front going against these. Oh, can Stevie May on loan? Or is he... can you double check that, John, if Stevie May's on loan?
Yeah, he is.
All right, so Stevie May won't be playing tonight.
When I was at the Falkirk Stadium to watch Livingston versus Falkirk, I actually was really impressed with Stevie May. Really impressed by him. He puts a lot of effort in, does the hard yards.
He wins a lot of fouls.
He's really good. He's a player that you hate if he's not in your team, but you'd want him in your team. So yeah, they've got a wee chance tonight of Livingston.
But obviously not having Stevie May will affect them.
Correct. Yeah. 100%.
So we'll see what happens there. So, yeah, the draw for the semi-final is after that. There was some championship action at the weekend, but we don't need to speak about that.
I don't think
anyone's interested, to be honest with you. I don't think...
It's back, baby! It's back! That happy dance is back. It's just a one-off until the end of the season, but it's worth it, isn't it? It's worth it. 10 points against Dunfermline out of 12 this season. 33 points between the two clubs. Who would have thought that at the start of the season?
Amazing, mate. It's unbelievable.
Would you have thought that?
I would never have thought that, mate. Definitely not.
He didn't even
think the Falkirk would get into the playoffs. Oh. You're top of the league.
I know, just too easy these days. Too easy. 6 points clear at the top of the league. Here we go.
I mean, it's one of the most comfortable 1-0 wins you'll ever have.
Absolutely. It's the business end of the season. It's squeaky bum time. But the Bears are 6 points clear and the Beltoners are at the bottom. Come on, the Bears! Woo!
Mate, can you phone up my pal?
Aye.
Cheers, mate.
He thinks the league's done.
Oh, the league is done.
That's the most exuberant he's been. He knows that was a big win at the weekend.
Oh, the league's done.
And Ayr losing
to Morton after taking the lead as well. Ayr obviously had a game midweek where they came back and beat Queen's Park by 3
But then
goals
you also had
two.
Livingston during the week who dropped points.
Who dropped points against Raith
Rovers. So it's been a really good week for Falkirk, who are 6 clear and they've all played the same amount of games.
Yeah. I think the league's done now. I think it's done.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that. I mean, if,
even though Falkirk have still to go to Livingston and Ayr.
Yeah, I think it would take a monumental disaster now for Falkirk not to win the league. I think it's done.
You're
setting
this up, Stephen.
I'm not setting it up. I think that was a huge weekend. I think yous winning.
Yeah.
And Ayr losing, coupled with Livingston dropping points during the week. I mean, if you don't win it from this position, you'll never win a league again.
No, I'd agree with that. I mean, I've always thought that Falkirk would win the league, and I've been saying it for a couple of months now, but I agree with that. I thought the weekend there was huge.
I think, obviously, you know, we've spoken about it before, about the sort of the good fortune that Falkirk have had this season, even on Saturday, you know, like the equaliser that was chopped off, which was correctly chopped off, by the way. It was a handball. I can't complain about that, that Chris Kane, you know, but this is the sort of fortune that I'm talking about. Hogarth obviously saves the ball, and it hits off Kane's hand. It could hit off his head. It could hit off his chest. Yeah. Could have gone anywhere. But listen, that's what happens when you're at the top of the league.
Producer John, I just got a message there from our guest. He said he tried answering there. Can you try him again?
I will.
Cheers, mate.
But, you know, put it this way. If Chris Kane, if the equaliser goes in and it's not a handball, it was a handball. I'm not complaining about that at all.
But if you do score,
the game peters out to be a draw, you know?
It's one of those games.
That game peters out to be a 1-1 draw. Falkirk drop points, but, you know, we're not a very good team. We're not a very good team.
You're going to stay up, though.
I hope so. I hope
you're only a point behind Hamilton.
Only a point behind Hamilton. I think it's going to go right down to the wire. I think it's going to go right the way down to the wire.
Our guest says, try again.
I mean, this is...
I wonder
who the guest might be.
Well, they're happy to come on.
Well, I bet they are.
Not They're so very happy to come on.
Not so happy when they lose and are meant to come on.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. The Sunday night before
I got
the
a couple of tweets asking if I was going to be a shite bag and not turn up the day.
Our special guest is here. You'll never guess who it is.
Oh, I wonder who this is. Mystery guest. I wonder who you are. Hello.
Morning, troops. How are we?
Hi. Yeah. I thought so.
Cole Donaldson.
How you doing, Cole? You all right?
I'm good, Stephen. How are you?
Shite, Cole. Absolutely shite. Terrible.
How was it? Not a good weekend for yourself. What were you up to?
It was a bad weekend, Cole. A bad weekend at the office. I was just saying there. Obviously, you couldn't hear what I was saying. No. You know, we're not very good. But I think if that Chris Kane, you know, equaliser goes in and it counts, and obviously hit off his hand, I'm not complaining about that. The game peters out to be a draw, Cole. There's no way you're scoring again.
No, but to be honest, Stephen, it wasn't actually a great game. It was quite a sort of cagey affair. But
yeah,
derbies are just about winning, so we were delighted. Sorry, just getting let in the room there. And we were delighted to get the win in the end. Probably better that the game comes like sort of, so not right at the end of the season because it would have been even more nervous. But I just thought Dunfermline did, they defended well, they stopped us kind of doing what we're good at. So, going forward, there wasn't a lot of shots on goal, and it wasn't.
Sorry, Cole. I was just saying to the guys there before you came on, I mean, you're 6 points clear at the top of the table. I think it's done now. I think yous have won the league. If you don't win the league now, I think, you know, it'll be obviously a bit of disaster.
Don't fall into his traps, Cole. Don't fall into his traps.
No, that's fine. No, that's fine. It's obviously, I think I heard the gaffer speak on Saturday and he said, like, you'd rather be in our position than anyone else's, which
of course,
is
blatantly
obvious.
Yeah.
But there's so many twists and turns to go, and it's boring. It is boring, but there are, and we still have to play Ayr and Livy, so there's 6 points right away, both away from home as well. So they're two really difficult games.
I think you're right though, because like you've still got to go there to both Somerset and to Livingston, but it also means that Ayr and Livingston can't slip up as well, and I can't see them not slipping up at some point. You know, I don't think they've quite got the consistency. I think yous will drop points between now and the end of the season as well, by the way, obviously. But I think the 6 point gap now, I think, you know, it would be an unmitigated disaster if you didn't win the league.
You are a chance bastard, honestly. What I would say though is quickly is that the games in the last quarter are so different because like everyone is playing for something. Like we play Queen's Park on Saturday and they're actually playing for, they're probably looking behind them and ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you play Airdrie the following week, they're fighting for their lives. So like games, the games now are completely different. They're a lot cagier and like on Saturday, like one goal was likely to decide a game. So, and you say as well, if that Chris Kane, like if he heads it rather than it hitting off his arm, then it could run out, be one each, which would have been a really disappointing result. So, aye, there's a long way to go. I think what will help us is that, and obviously it was at a different level, but there's a lot of boys in there that kind of know now about the pressure that comes with games for like winning leagues and things like that. And the games will be harder than what they were last year, but that experience can only stand you in good stead, so we'll be try to use that as much as possible.
Cole, can I ask you about your new signer, Scott Arfield, who's clearly been there, done it, got the T-shirt. What's he been like in the dressing room? What's he been like with the lads?
He's top, honestly, he is. He's probably one of the most down-to-earth guys I've come across in the game. He's just a genuine nice guy, and he's been so helpful for me and Brad as well. Obviously, Brad has been wearing the armband as well. I was getting quite stressed with it all year, and I spoke to you about it. There was obviously the whole sort of Cal Morrison situation. We had a wee sort of dip in form, and Scotty just came in and galvanised the place, scored a hat-trick on his debut, and he's just been great in terms of taking the strain off myself in terms of like having to deal with certain stuff and piping up and speaking in the change room and speaking in big moments during games. And I can't really speak highly enough of him. He's obviously had a good impact on the pitch, but for me, the sort of biggest impact has been off the pitch, and his advice and his experience is priceless. And he genuinely just wants to do well for Falkirk, which is kind of lost in football now with a modern-day player. There's not a lot of affinity with clubs and that, but he genuinely does just like love the club and wants us to do well. And if he's involved with that, scoring goals or whatever, just playing his part off the pitch, he genuinely would do anything for this club to do well. So it's actually quite refreshing.
Cole, now that you're 6 points clear, I'm going to ask you this question. Have you been practising in front of the mirror lifting a trophy?
I expect that from him. You're supposed to be my mate.
Right, let's leave Falkirk for just a wee second. It was a brilliant result the weekend. You're 6 points clear, so it's been a good week with Ayr losing and then you had Livingston dropping points during the week. You're also a Hearts fan. We had a great win against Dundee on Friday night. If we avoid Celtic in the semi-final draw tonight, we've got a chance of winning this cup, have we not?
I'd rather get Celtic in the semi.
Would you?
Get out of the way. Rather get beat in the semi than get beat in the final.
Oh, that's a good point, actually. That's not a bad shout. That's not a bad shout at all, because I wanted Hibs to beat Celtic yesterday to give us a better chance of winning the cup. Were you of that same mindset?
Nah, get the Hibs out.
See, that's a more traditional sort of view on things as opposed to the view that you take, Ewan.
Yes,
so.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So go on.
I definitely would rather get Celtic in the semi. I've not had a feeling like that walking out after the Edward final. That was horrendous. So just get it over with in the semi. Get us toughed out in the semi.
Yeah. And see, before we let you go, Cole, how's your day been now that you're 6 points at the top of the table? How was training this morning?
No, just the usual. Nothing changes. So we're in this morning. We watched the game back. The gaffer likes to bring us right back down to earth. So was looking at sort of Dunfermline chances, and I was actually at fault for the chance late on, so he got into me about that, and then a quick recovery. There's actually a Stirlingshire Cup game tomorrow. I don't know if...
John mentioned this.
Are you going to play call? Or
is it going to be a strong team? Yeah, what sort of team's getting put out?
I think we're play a decent enough team. I think the gaffer is just going to sort of use the boys that need the minutes and stuff. We've got a humongous squad now, so.
Cole, you've just come back from injury. I take it you won't be rest.
No, I'm. I don't think I'm playing tomorrow night. I played in the last round, though.
Oh, did you?
So I might do the John Terry if we win it and put the kit on. And
That's what you did when we won League One as well.
I know. I've got previous for it. So, but nah, that's tomorrow. So the gaffer's just sort of preparing the team for that tomorrow.
Oh, brilliant. And when you do win the league, whenever that happens, you need to come into the studio and do a happy dance with producer John.
I know, but I do. Do you know what? I, as much as I disagree with Stephen, I actually do agree with him. I think the fact that I was meant to be coming on and then we got toughed at the Scottish Cup, and I said to you that I couldn't make it just because I didn't think it looked right that I would be missing training after getting knocked out of the Scottish Cup. So I think he has. I do agree with him on that. I can't just come on and got to try and rub it in when results are going well.
Oh, don't get me wrong here. If you blow it, you'll be fucking on this podcast. I'll be coming round your door to make sure you're on the podcast.
That's right.
So listen, Cole, just very quickly, just from a, you know, I wasn't at the game on Saturday, but you know what you kind of said there. It was kind of tight, kind of cagey. Mm-hmm. I think Falkirk obviously are a better team than Dunfermline. You just need to look at the league table for that. But we've obviously got our own problems in terms of the teams that you've played over the last few weeks. You played Hamilton, you drew with them, you beat Airdrie during the week. That's obviously the teams that are in and around Dunfermline. Where do you think Dunfermline sit between those teams?
I think it's really, really tight, Stephen. Genuinely, I'm not just saying that to be boring, but it is so sort of day-to-day. I think Dunfermline have proven that they can get results against good teams, like they've beat Livy at home this year. I think it's just... it's probably difficult for the manager just now because he's looking to implement the way that he wants to play, which is a sort of passing sort of way, and I'm not entirely sure whether it's at that time of the season. Can you get a squad to change the way that they play and still pick up results? So I don't know whether he might think I might need to put that on hold until the summer just to get results to stay in the league.
Yeah. Headline there, Falkirk captain slams Dunfermline manager. Nah, I know what you mean, Cole. And listen, it was just because you were up close against that Dunfermline team on Saturday. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I think we are capable of maybe winning three or four matches, and if we win three or four matches, that might be enough.
Aye, and you went to Partick just a few weeks ago and won there as well, so you went to difficult places and won games, and you beat in Livingston as well.
Here's a start for you. Dunfermline have scored 7 goals away from home all season, and 4 of them came in one match, so I think that's clear where the issues lie, because I think defensively, as you said, Cole, we were pretty solid on Saturday.
What I would say as well is I was obviously there, and I know the boys that are in that change room. Kano scored like 1 year the game against Morton single-handedly. McCannell scored big goals. So you have got players there that kind of know what it takes, and in this stage of the season is invaluable. Honestly, I think being in that position and knowing what it takes, that experience is massive. So there'll be both ends of the table, so many twists and turns.
What a great end to the season Cole and I are going to have. Cole is going to obviously lift the Championship trophy and get promotion to the Premiership. Hearts winning the Scottish Cup. It's going to be some end to the season for us, mate.
I don't know if both of those things can happen. I'm not sure.
If I was to choose one, I would choose Hearts winning the Scottish Cup. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
I know you would.
Take that. But listen, Cole, thanks for taking time out your day. I know you're training and stuff still. So thanks very much for coming on.
Nice to speak to you, lads. Enjoy your show.
Aye, cheers, pal. Thank you very much, Cole.
Right, all the best, mate.
Bye, mate. There he goes, I should say. The captain of Falkirk, that's Cole Donaldson, after their 1-0 win against Dunfermline.
And at least he acknowledged that he's a shite bag.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's fine. Joe, I don't know. It must be a sort of Falkirk-y thing, because obviously John's a big shy bag as well. When things don't go for his team, I should mention Airdrie beating Hamilton on Saturday, just about
big,
keeps them in touch. They are 7 points behind Dunfermline.
Stephen, how are you feeling about that? Because you've still got to play Airdrie, and I think it is an Airdrie, isn't it?
It's East End, right?
They're pretty much on form. Airdrie are one of the form teams in the league. I don't think
we're a good team at all. I think the squad probably needs a bit of an overhaul in the summer. Well, it definitely needs a bit of an overhaul in the summer.
Players will know that as well.
I think that might be a bit of an issue as well. I think that the only positive I can sort of cling to at this moment is we're not conceding many goals. We only lost 1-0 on Saturday. It was only 1-0 against Hamilton. You know, like, it's not fair enough. We got a doing from Airdrie a few weeks ago. But apart from that, it's been like the odd goal that we've lost by or won by. Now, we obviously don't have a lot of attacking threat. You were at the game on Saturday, John. So you'll have seen it firsthand. Like,
we just off.
Yeah, totally. And we've got Chris Kane up front, but he's got no set. Like, you know, unless he does it himself or it's a set piece, he's not getting a lot of service, is he? No.
I would say what I would worry about from a Dunfermline perspective is there's a lot of young boys in that squad. There's a lot of boys he brought in from England, all these kind of youth players. Are they going to be able up for the fight if you end up getting dragged? If Airdrie end up dragging you down there, say they go to East End Park and get a win. That's what I would worry
about.
And I certainly would worry if Chris Kane got injured as well.
Aye, totally. We don't play Airdrie until the second last game of the season, so I'm kind of hoping
it's done by then.
Aye. Certainly in terms of automatic relegation, I don't think it'll be done in terms of the playoffs. I think that's going right down to the final game. But no, you're right. I think Mullen at centre-half looks decent. Him and Benedictus have a pretty decent partnership, I thought.
But defensively, you're fine.
Even the keeper, I think, has been pretty solid over the last few weeks as well. So we're not conceding a lot of goals. However, we do look powder puff going forward, and that is a huge issue. However, if we don't concede goals, we might end up nicking a goal from a set piece, a penalty, whatever it is. We play Raith Rovers on Friday night, who are, you know, like, so inconsistent. They're good one week, they're shocking the next. Who knows what will happen on Friday night? But it's a huge match. It's a really huge match on Friday night in the Fife Derby at Starks Park. Our record at Starks is honking. But that doesn't mean we can't go there. If we get a point on Friday, I'd probably take that, to be perfectly honest with you, because then the week after that, we're at home to Livingston, who, you know, are obviously going for the title, but we've had decent results against Livingston. We drew at their place last time.
Beat them
3-0 earlier on in the season. So, you know, I don't know. I think I'm hoping there's enough in the squad. I think if we get to about 40 points.
Mate, I'm telling you right now, a bit like when I predicted Falkirk had won the league a few months ago, you'll be fine. And you'll catch Hamilton, and you won't even be in the relegation playoff, right? Just trust me on
that. Don't tell him that, Ewan. Put a wee bit of fear in
there. I'll be fine.
I'm not convinced. Anyway, big result for Airdrie on Saturday, beating Hamilton, so it gives them a wee glimmer of hope. Let's move on to League One then, and find out what's happening there. So our Broth are 5 points clear at the top from Stenhouse Muir. They have played a game more than Stenny, though. That was after a 3-2 win at Allo on Saturday. Stenny beat Annan by 2-0. Massive result for Inverness. They beat Dumbarton 1-0. And that means for the first time in a long time, Inverness are officially safe. Obviously, they got deducted 15 points earlier on in the season. They're still in administration. They're 2 points above Annan now with a game in hand. And Annan have lost their last four. So they are mega, mega struggling. Cove Rangers back to winning ways, beating Queen of the South by 3-1. Can you check, producer John, very quickly, if Fraser Fivey was playing? Because I think Cove Rangers are almost solely reliant on Fraser Fivey. If Fraser Fivey plays, they win. If he doesn't play, they get beat. And obviously he's had his bother with injuries over the last wee while. Can you double check that, John?
Is that important to them?
I think he's absolutely vital. I mean, I think they lost their last game. They won on Saturday against Queen of the South by 3-1, so I'm not entirely sure. I think that's enough time for me to pad there, John, so that you can find out whether Fraser Fivey fucking played for Cove Rangers.
Fraser Fivey didn't play.
He didn't. Thank you, John.
Oh, no, hold on. No, he didn't. Oh, he did. He did.
I found it in about 10 seconds there, John.
Fraser Fivey.
I'm trying to present here.
Did play.
I need your help. I need your help sometimes. He did play.
Yes, definitely played. And Mitch Meganson played as
Mitch Meganson played as well. Well, we know that now. It would have been good to hear it about a minute ago. Kelty Hearts drew with Montrose 0-0. So both teams, Kelty are actually 5 points off the playoffs now, the good playoffs, but they do have a game in hand. So if they win that,
can I just say that there was a perfect example of the sweaty octopus?
Oh, it really was. I need to go to Google. I'm on Twitter trying to find the teams. Google it.
My computer had locked out. Then I had to
locked out. Oh, bollocks, John. Right, red cards all over the shop in League Two. Nearly more goals than
more red cards than goals. There was 6 red cards.
Jesus.
And I think there was 5 goals in League Two.
3 red cards in Bonnyrigg versus Edinburgh City. Edinburgh City 1-1-0. And Bonnyrigg are now bottom of the table because Forfar went to Elgin and won by a goal to nil. Elgin also had a man sent off too. East Fife beat Clyde by 2-1, so that means it's still 3 points the gap at the top. Peterhead drew with Stranraer, their nearest challengers there. But yeah, problems for Bonnyrigg. They were deducted, 5 or 6 points earlier on in the season for some administrative errors.
That's right.
So that might cost them in the end. And Forfar under Jim Weir have really picked up in recent times. 3 wins in the last 5. So yeah, we'll see what happens there. But Bonnyrigg, not good for them. Let's go for some refereeing decisions, shall we?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Now, there was nothing much in terms of VAR over the weekend because
Scottish Cup, there was nothing to talk about.
Yeah, there was the Triantis tackle that got
on Hatate.
Was
it Hatate? Tackle?
I think it
on
possibly
the heels?
It got checked for a red card. I thought it was a yellow card. What do you think? Do you think it was a red?
If they'd given a red, would you have complained?
Yeah. nothing much happening there. But we do want to look at a red card in the Morton Air game. You might have heard about this. So it was a tackle on Jake Hasty, wasn't it, producer John?
Is that what caused the issue between Dougie Emery and Scott Brown?
Yeah, Dylan Corr got sent off for a tackle. It was right in front of the dugouts. RJ Deemer on Twitter reached out to everyone yesterday and said, "There's not much happened. Would you like us to discuss the lower leagues and some terrible refereeing decision?" And the only person that got back to me
with a serious answer
saying, "John, stop making us do all the work for you."
Yeah, lazy bastard. Yeah.
So it was RJ Demon on Twitter, and he wanted us to have a look at that tackle on Jake Hasty. So do you want to see it? Because you guys
I've not seen it. I have heard about it.
Have you got a video of it?
I've got a video of it. I can show you.
Right, okay.
You're putting it on the big screen.
I'll put it on the big screen.
Go on.
Right, let's go to the wide shot and have a wee. If you could turn the volume down to, like, not being in a helicopter, that'd be great.
And so go and scoop that back.
Aye, scoop it back so we can see it again.
I'll probably show a replay here.
No, they don't show you a replay. Yeah. They never show you replays on stuff like that. Right, come on, John. Here we go. Oh, no, we'll just watch this corner first.
Does it come from the corner?
Let's see.
Yeah, it comes after this.
Oh, that's a goal.
You're being so sweaty today, John.
I can feel the
sweat.
You're making demands.
I'm not making... You suggested
well,
this,
why
not
did
me.
You, why did you not just record the clip and show it to us?
Because I've not had time this morning, Ewan, to do that. Right, here we go. Shut up.
I'd say that's a foul.
That's a foul. It's not a red card. That's not a red card for me.
I think in this day and age, it's probably a red card.
You think that's a red card?
Yeah. I think he's obviously just cleaned them out.
He's not touched them, though.
No, I think he has.
I don't think he's touched them.
I think he has.
Do you think, John, I'm going to ask you, Sweaty Octopus, do you think that's a red card?
Aye.
Do you?
I think it's a red card. He scissors him.
I don't think he scissors him.
Do you want to watch that again?
Honestly, he doesn't scissor him. No chance.
I think there's
a bit of pace in the challenge, yeah, but I'm not sure.
The argument from the Morton supporters is that Scott Brown has had influence. Now, I have seen firsthand Scott Brown's influence when George Big Cheater Oakley got one of our players sent off.
I'll let it go, John.
Yeah, I know. So, yes, I have got issues.
Can't hold on to these things saying that you're unfortunate when you've been very fortunate all season.
The Morton fans are right. That's never a red card for me.
I don't know. Right, anyway, Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the air every single night from 6 p.m. Gordon Duncan and the lads taking your calls. And also, make sure and follow us on Clyde One Super Scoreboard YouTube. You can subscribe to our playlist as well, and leave your comments as per usual, and we'll read out the best of them next week. You're very good at doing that anyway, and telling us where we're wrong or we're right. Thank you very much for that. We see them all. So, at Big Football Scott on Twitter as well. And remember, the Big Scottish Football Show is on as well. Myself and Ewan Cameron, alongside Beth Wallace and former Hibs and Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan, every single Saturday from 2 o'clock on 4th One, on TFM, on North Sound One and MFR. So, let's do The Winner Takes It All.
The winner takes it all.
Loser has to fall. The sign of victory. That's our destiny.
Right, okay, so this is where we get six people. We need to decide who is and who's better, who's uglier, who's harder.
This is my favourite part of the show.
Colin Donnett says, Fergie rebuilt several teams at the same club and remained successful. Mourinho builds teams, wins it, then goes pear-shaped and he leaves. Because you said that Mourinho...
It's the best manager ever.
Super Rangers Ole. Ewan's disregard of Ancelotti is genuinely baffling. He's won 5 Champions Leagues and Ewan's claiming that he can do the same and can't even get a gig... Can't even get a better gig than when parties go bad. John Hunter says, Ewan saying Mourinho over Fergie is somehow worse than shitting in garden. So what have we got this week, producer John?
Do you know when parties go bad was repeated like the weekend, Ewan?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I got a few messages from people saying, you're back on the Channel 5.
That's a great excuse to hit out the old...
I get paid for that as well.
Okay.
I get a repeat fee. I did a deal with a repeat fee.
That's quite good.
Can you tell us how much you get? No.
Why not?
It's big Channel 5 money, Stephen. Of course.
I'm genuinely interested. How much do you get?
No, it's in the hundreds. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
But not in the thousands?
No.
Right, it's in the hundreds. Oh, okay, that was fine.
So the referees had a good weekend, I think. All in all, I've not seen anything controversial. So I thought this week on Winner Takes It All would decide who is the best referee in Scotland currently.
Jesus Christ.
Here we go.
Whatever.
No, just at the moment.
At the moment. I thought you were going to be like Willie Young and Hugh Dallas.
We're not going that far back.
Okay.
The current best referee in Scotland, alright.
Well, nobody can win in this.
I know, this is the whole point of it.
I don't want to play this game.
Right, who's in the Coney Silence?
The Coney Silence, this week we'll put you first in there, Stephen.
Okay, oh, God.
So there you go. You're in the cone of silence now, so Stephen can't hear anything you say, Ewan, so you can say anything you want about him. There you go. Right, okay. Then Ewan, right, so this is you to decide who the best referee in Scotland is, okay?
Right, okay.
And we're going to kick off, number one, with John Beaton. John Beaton's your starter, but is Nick Walsh better than John Beaton?
You can't win with this. It doesn't matter what I say, you're going to lose because there's fans that have got something to say about all the referees in Scotland just now. But this is about who I think ultimately is a better referee.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with... if I was handpicking a referee to referee at Tynecastle, I would pick Nick Walsh.
Right, so Nick Walsh, you're going with Nick Walsh, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, next up, he's up against Kevin Clancy.
Clancy was the boy that stood by his decision after checking VAR. Mm-hmm. Was he not that boy? Mm-hmm. I did like that, even though I didn't quite agree with some of his decisions. I really like that he stuck to his guns. Walsh or Clancy? I'm going to go with Walsh.
Stephen McLean.
Walsh.
David Dickinson.
Hmm. Walsh.
Don Robertson.
I'm going to go Walsh.
Walsh?
Yeah.
There we go. That's your time up, Ewan.
I was just thinking about referees who I would like to referee Hearts. And yeah, that's the one that I wouldn't, that I don't mind.
Okay, let's bring Stephen back in now.
This is tough. This is tough.
Yeah.
This is tough.
Okay.
Well, do you know the best way I would do it? This is what I did. Who do you want refereeing your game?
Okay.
Who do you, would out of all of them, who would you prefer to referee your game? And that's what I did. Who would I like to be in the centre circle at Tynecastle?
Okay.
Right, let's put Ewan into the cone of silence. There he goes. You can say what you want about Ewan as
such
ever.
Such a fanny. Yep. Such a
it's
fanny.
It's a standard answer. Yeah. Right, Stephen, got to decide who you think the best current referee in Scotland is from this list.
Right.
Okay, and your starter is John Beaton. But is John Beaton better than Nick Walsh?
Yes, he is. I'll go John Beaton.
John Beaton. Kevin Clancy's next up.
John Beaton. I think Kevin Clancy's terrible.
Stephen McLean.
Well, actually, I think Stephen McLean is one of the better ones. I mean, damned by fame praise, but, you know, with his sort of bias against Air United because his dad played with Kilmarnock 500 times and his brother played with Falkirk, and then to be given the Falkirk Air United game a couple of weeks ago.
If it was
an assault, John, mm-hmm, he couldn't avoid giving a penalty. I would have recused myself from that. I'd have taken myself out of it.
Steve McLean or Nick Walsh?
No, I'm on John Beaton.
All right, you still got John Beaton.
I'm sticking with John Beaton.
Yeah.
Nick Walsh, is that the next one?
No, you've done Nick Walsh.
Right.
John Beaton or Steve McLean?
John Beaton.
Okay. David Dickinson. Or a Bobby Dazzler?
John Beaton.
John Beaton. And finally, Don Robertson, the Don.
I don't actually think John Beaton's that good either, but I think he's better than the other one, so my answer has to be John Beaton.
John Beaton, Wednesday.
Yeah. I mean, I can't, like...
Right.
Shite list. Absolutely shite list.
I love that. Right, Ewan's back in the room now.
I think it's a tough one.
Okay.
Shite list.
Right, I gave you the best referees, well, best current Scottish referees, apparently.
Yeah.
Right, so the first one was John Beaton. Then it was Nick Walsh. 1, 2, 3.
Walsh.
Next up was Kevin Clancy. 1, 2, 3.
Walsh.
John Beaton.
After that, it was Stephen McLean. 1, 2, 3.
John Walsh. Beaton.
Up next, Bobby Dazzler himself. David Dickinson. 1, 2, 3.
Walsh.
And finally, Don Robertson. 1, 2, 3.
Walsh.
I know. I did clarify that. I don't think John Beaton's very good either. And I agree. It's Nick Walsh or John Beaton. I think they're the two best referees.
So why did you ultimately go with Beaton?
I just think that...
I think it's too much...
He gets the bigger games, usually. He gets, you know, generally he gets the Celtic Rangers games or cup finals or stuff like that. And I think I've seen him have enough good games...
That he's the best one for you.
That I think he's the best game. Yeah, he makes mistakes. Absolutely.
I think that's what clouded my judgment, is big mistakes that he makes.
A couple of times he's been shafted by VAR, I think, as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's not been helped, particularly in that cup final with Celtic and Rangers when, what's his name, was it Muir? Alan Muir was the VAR thingy, and all that.
It's not a great bunch. It's not. And I think Nick Walsh is much a much. I think him and Nick Walsh are much a muchness. I think Kevin Clancy's terrible. And I've thought that for years and years. A terrible ref. And
so you wouldn't mind Walsh or Beaton refereeing your games?
The other one I wouldn't mind would be McLean. I think they're the three best.
Aye.
But McLean obviously can't put his bias aside when he's refereeing Falkirk versus Air United.
I would go, for me personally, Beaton, McLean, Walsh. Top three.
in reverse order you've done
three
that.
Yeah, reverse, okay, like a chart countdown.
Yeah, okay.
Beaton, McLean,
because I was going to say that completely contradicts what you've just
said. What would be your top three?
I think those would be the top three. I think,
but you'd have been at one.
Beaton, Walsh, McLean.
Next right. week we'll do who's the worst referee in Scotland.
Oh Christ, well, jeez, there's a few of them.
But you could have done the best referee in the last 30, 40 years. That would have been an interesting one.
We can do that another time.
Like Willie Young and all them.
John, you know who was shite? John Rowbottom was shite.
Did you not like John Rowbottom?
Oh, he was terrible.
That's because he's from Kirkcaldy, isn't he?
Right, let's unmask a footballer, shall we?
Yes.
Who are you? Who are you? That behind the mask.
Scottish Henry says the Mass footballer might be Matty Kennedy from Kilmarnock. Stephen Craigan for the Mass footballer says AI Frizzell. Kevin McLeave asked this question: has the Mass footballer played in the GB Olympic team? Who else have we got? Ewan wants two questions for the Mass footballer every week because it isn't being competitive and Stephen hasn't the opportunity to trounce him like he does in the quiz, so I think it should be competitive, Mass footballer, from behind the cone of silence when this one is done.
Interesting.
Oh. Richard Hamilton says maybe to add a wee bit of spice to the Mass footballer, perhaps if you get a perfect six on winner takes all, you get three questions and two for the same end result and just one if you make an arse of it.
That's an interesting concept. I quite like that.
So yeah, we can tie in the Mass footballer and the winner takes it all.
Aye.
We end up with the right answer, we get an extra question.
Yeah.
All right, let's do that from next week.
Let's do that from next week. Right, so they're an international player. They've not been capped by Scotland, but they have been capped by a team in Europe, and it's not Peter Lovenkranz, and they've never played at an international tournament.
Do we think it's the British Isles and Ireland?
I think... like, we still don't know whether this person is still playing or not.
Yeah, but... it's not going to be Scotty Arfield, is it?
No, because he's been capped by a team in Europe, so that rules him out.
No, he hasn't. He's Canada.
Yeah, so that rules him out.
What do you mean?
Canada's not in Europe, last time I checked, Ewan.
What was the question?
I said, this player has been capped by a team in Europe, and Canada's not in Europe, so that rules out Scotty Arfield.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what is the question?
I don't know. I don't know what the question is.
It feels like we've lost momentum here.
I think,
and we're all over the place.
We're just chucking
shit at it.
Yeah,
and see what sticks. Right. So the key for me is that this is an international player.
What about
who's not played at a major tournament? Who hasn't played at major?
No,
tournament?
No, he's not. He's not played at a major tournament.
Right. So it's an international player who's not played at a major tournament. In recent years, Northern Ireland have been in a major tournament.
As have Wales,
as of Scotland.
But he's not played with Scotland.
I know, but I'm just saying the teams that in Republic of Ireland have been as well in recent years.
Well, Republic of Ireland, not really.
When was the last time they were at a major tournament? Was that...
they didn't qualify for the Euros in 2021, I don't think.
No, they didn't.
So it must have been, and they didn't qualify for the World Cup in 2018, so it must have been 2016 the last time they were at a major
Do we need
tournament.
To know if this player's still playing or not? I think that's what we probably need to know now.
Yeah.
And then we can then look back at international teams.
Okay.
Because if they're playing today, it could be a Republic of Ireland international who's not been a tournament.
Okay. Mass footballer, are you still playing football professionally?
No.
So he's retired.
So it still could be a Republic of Ireland player if we think it is in the British Isles and Ireland.
Get your questions and help us here. We're struggling.
I think that's good to know that though, because it then does open up the door for like major tournaments in the noughties, in the tens.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what I mean? So, no, it doesn't open up for international. Because he didn't play in a national tournament.
Yeah, exactly. I know. That's what you're talking about.
And they've won caps.
Yeah, for a team in Europe. Right, leave your comments on YouTube at Big Football Scott. Let's get the quiz done, shall we?
Oh, shit. I think this has been quite a short podcast today. How long is it, Sweaty Octopus?
I think it's still about an hour and a half.
Aye, it's probably about that. Hold on, I'll tell you.
Nah, we start.
Oh no, we're 1 hour 20 at the moment.
Aye, we're really early.
We're rattling through it.
Rattling through it.
Right,
let's do it.
Okay,
Producer John is the hostess with the most S. Five questions. We've got a top bin, not that I've used one in months, because I don't need to, because I'm taking on you and Cameron. Okay, here we go.
Why can't you just treat every week as a different week and a new week? Why do you have to keep banging on about how amazing you are?
I didn't say how amazing I was, though.
Yeah, well, you did, because you went, I've not needed to use the top bin question for weeks and weeks and weeks, suggesting how great I am.
No, you missed out a key part of that sentence. I said I've not had to use a top bin question for weeks and weeks and weeks because I'm taking on you. I'm not saying I'm amazing. You're just shite.
See? Because you're so good.
No, it's not because I'm
so
good.
You're so good.
It's not because I'm
you're
so good.
You're amazing.
No, it's not. Yeah, I'm not amazing.
That's what you're saying. And nobody likes a pig-headed prick.
No, I'm not saying I'm amazing.
No, you are.
I'm just saying that you're so bad that I don't need to be amazing.
In a roundabout way, that's what you're saying. But let's move on. Let's move on. Let's play. Let's play against Celtic here. I'm 16 to 1 chance. He's a 1 to 9 chance.
Yeah, I mean, I would go with that because your form's so terrible.
Yeah, and you're so great, Stephen.
I don't think I am great.
Oh, look at you. Amazing.
Don't think I am great at all. Yeah. Not at all.
Let's do it, right. John.
Okay. You know how the game works, boy.
Yeah, you say this every week. Of course, we've been doing it for a year and a half.
You're so touchy.
But you say stupid things.
People might be listening to this podcast for the first time. But it's all re-explain the rules. That's what you have to do in the radio and podcast world, Ewan. You have
go and explain the rules,
okay,
then.
There's five questions. It's a penalty shootout style quiz. You have a top bin, which is double points. If it goes to a tiebreak, there is a closest two questions. Are you ready to play?
You're so tetchy, Ewan.
Just play the game.
Right, okay.
Ultimate tetch.
Question number one. How many points are Dunfermline behind Falkirk? How many points currently are Dunfermline behind Falkirk? If you were listening carefully earlier on, Ewan, there's a clue. I just want to hear Stephen's answer to this.
Do you know the answer?
Yeah.
Of course you do.
Because he's obsessed with Falkirk, so you know.
No, I know the answer because you shouted it at me earlier on.
I did shout it at you, and you clearly didn't listen.
Nah, I very rarely listen to you, mate.
Thanks.
See you at the weekend there, you two, on WhatsApp. I had to mute it. You two banging on about Falkirk and Dunfermline. I had to mute it. It was ruining my Sunday.
Oh, Falkirk played Dunfermline. What are you expecting us to talk about?
What was the question?
How many points behind
Falkirk? I didn't ask
Falkirk
you. When did you become the host?
All right, fine.
How many points are Dunfermline behind Falkirk currently?
Did I get two either side or something?
No.
See,
I actually said the answer earlier in the podcast.
Well, don't listen to you.
You're so tetchy.
I don't know. I've written down a number.
Tetchy right. Bear.
Right, you.
Jumbo Tetch.
We'll come to you. We'll come to you first, Ewan. What do you think it is?
36.
Okay.
So close.
Yes. I believe you said 33.
Oh, say it again, Stephen. How many points are Falkirk in head of Dunfermline?
Fuck off, John.
Right. 33 minus 33 in Dunfermline. It's very chilly. Wear a coat.
Well, listen, this will be the first time you've finished above us in what, 7 years or something? You know, take the wee wins.
It's quite a significant difference, though, Stephen.
I'll listen to this shite at the weekend on WhatsApp. Can you just move on with question number two?
Okay. That's fine. It's good to have the wee sort of day in the sun.
Okay, Old Firm happens on Sunday, but who scored the third goal the last time Rangers and Celtic met in the league? Who scored the third goal in the 3-0 win at Ibrox? Come on, Jambo Bear.
You're in my ears, mate. I heard the question. I don't need you repeating. I don't need you screaming in my ear. Just shut your face.
Jambo Tetch. That's you this week. Tetchy.
I couldn't even tell you scored the first goal.
Luckily that's not the question. Is he scored the third goal?
See the... I'm just pointing out how I'm struggling here, and you just need to be a complete smart arse every time we play this game.
That's another question. The question is who scored the third goal, so we're not asking you who scored the first goal. I actually don't know. I've guessed. I think it may be this person, but I'm not sure. Jambo Tetch. Or is it Tetchy Bear? Tetch Bear. I think Jambo Tetch is good because it keeps the team going. Okay.
You got an answer?
Right, I'll go first since you went first last time, Ewan, and I'm fair that way. I think it might be Danilo.
Right.
What have you written down, Ewan?
What did you write?
Not that.
What did you show everyone?
Don't cares.
No, we need to, no, we need for clarification.
I didn't write Danilo. That's all that matters.
What did you write?
It doesn't matter.
What did you write?
I'm not telling you.
What did you write? Ewan?
What did you write?
Doesn't write anything.
Butland.
Just move on.
Brian Loudrop.
Right. You don't need to tell us.
You're so tetchy. You're very tetchy. Look at you, Jambo
right.
Tetch.
Here we go, Ewan. This is your chance. You're a big fan of films, aren't you, Ewan? Have you heard the game, The 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yes.
Have you heard about that? So you've got to connect an actor to Kevin Bacon in six moves.
Yeah.
We are going to play The 6 Degrees of Kenny Miller. Because
okay.
Kenny Miller has been at hundreds of clubs.
Okay.
And played down south. He's played abroad. He's played everywhere. I think you can connect any player in world football to Kenny Miller. That is my argument. So it's The 6 Degrees of Kenny Miller, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm going to give you 2 minutes on this to give you a bit of a thinking time, right?
Okay.
So, all you've got to do, and it's a fairly easy one to start, is connect the following player to Kenny Miller in six moves or
does
less.
Six moves or less. Right, yeah. Okay, that's fine.
And that player is Duncan Ferguson.
So what do you want me to do?
Oh, Jesus Christ, Ewan. Right, you've got to connect Duncan Ferguson to Kenny Miller via players he has played with, Kenny Miller has played with, or Duncan Ferguson has played with. You've just got to link it back to Kenny Miller. Simple. It's like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. You must have heard of that.
I genuinely don't understand what you're talking about.
Do you understand, Stephen?
Yeah, I've got it.
You've got an answer. There could be several different answers to this, Ewan. I've got something written down, but Stephen might have something.
You just need to connect Duncan Ferguson to Kenny Miller.
In some connection.
In some sort of footballing connection.
So let's just play...
Rangers.
No. It's
in terms of people.
People they played with. Or I'll give you managers as well, actually. Managers and players. Right, I'll give it... You've got 2 minutes in a set anyway, Ewan, so this is...
How many answers do I need to write?
Oh, my
just
God.
One.
Just one.
Just anyone.
Fewer than six.
Right, so...
But I've written something down. I've not got a fucking clue what's going on here. And it's not the way that we started the quiz when we came up with this idea. It's suddenly
I'm mixing it up. I'm being creative here, Ewan. Yeah. I thought you would endorse this.
No, I don't. I don't endorse anything you do.
So what have you written down?
Walter Smith.
Right,
Walter Smith. Explain your working.
Explain the connection.
Well, we managed them.
Where?
At Rangers.
Stephen, what have you written down?
Walter Smith.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you really? So you did.
There you go. In one, you did it in one. I had done it, I'd went down the player route. Duncan Ferguson played with Andriy Kanchelskis at Everton. And then Andriy Kanchelskis played with Kenny Miller at Rangers.
Okay.
Do you see how it works, Ewan?
Yeah, I'm really impressed.
You don't look
You're
it.
So tetchy. Jeez. What is wrong,
I
Ewan?
I thought that would be a fun round.
Yeah.
You're so tetchy.
Did you enjoy that, Stephen?
Yeah, it was something different.
Something different, exactly. There we go.
I'd rather have had something on the screen.
Right, I'll do that next week. We'll just mix it up, Ewan. Who knows what will happen in the quiz?
What's the score?
It's 3-1.
I'll need to take a top bin question here.
You've got to take a top bin question?
Top bin question. If I get it right, it goes to 3-3.
Yeah, okay.
I need a top bin question. I'm going to go for it.
Right.
And if I don't get it right...
You're not better giving me my question first. Because if you get it wrong, then that's you done. So give me my normal question first.
Remember, we discussed this. Okay, yeah, go then.
Okay.
Give him the normal question first.
Right, Stephen. Which club connects Tommy Coyne, Gary Harkins and Jim Duffy?
Dundee.
What are you laughing at? What's funny about that?
Because I got it in about 4 seconds.
4-1.
See, oh, I'm
so
great.
You're playing for a tie break.
I'm so great. I got it in 4 seconds.
You're playing for a
seconds.
Tie break now, Ewan.
It's probably less than that, actually. It's
not. It's to go 4-3.
Right,
4-3.
Okay. Your top bin question, Ewan, is
if you
this.
Get this wrong, that's you out, Ewan.
And
that's
I,
me one.
As I said to you, I'm keeping it Hearts for you. I'm keeping it Dunfermline for Scott. Who's his name, Stephen?
See, before you tell me this top bin question, uh-huh. Right? You are speaking to me, not Stephen.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. That's fine. That's how I'll address you. You ready?
Yeah, so you need to shut your face.
Very tetchy.
Right, okay.
Just give me my question.
Here we go.
Jumbo tetch.
Who was the last player to play
the
for...
The what? What? The blast?
Who was the last player to play for both Hearts and Hibs? the last player that played for both clubs? Who is it?
Oh, I think I know this. Can't remember his name though.
Shut up, Stephen!
I remember him playing with Hearts.
This is definitely a top bin worthy question, I would say.
And I also remember him playing with Hibs as well. I've got it. I've got it.
Oh, you've got it? Yeah. Oh, right, okay. Right, Ewan, the big unveiling. Who was the last player to play for both Hibs and Hearts?
Mitchell.
First name?
Phil Mitchell, Grant Mitchell, Peggy Mitchell.
Something Dimitri Mitchell or something. He came from Man United. He was at Hearts and ended up at Hibs.
Phil Mitchell.
Fuck off, Phil Mitchell.
Get it. Well done, you. Ewan.
Get it up, you. Get it up, you. What? Up, you. Four. Oh, I know what the answer is. Well, I fucking knew it as well. Get it up, you.
4-3.
Right.
You are playing for the tiebreak here, Ewan.
Right. No, but I need to get the question wrong.
Yeah.
And he needs to
get
it right.
Yeah.
Just move on. I've got momentum.
Yeah?
Go.
Okay. Who is the longest serving manager in the SPFL? Who is the longest serving manager in the SPFL?
Why is it when it comes to the big question where it can determine the quiz, it's always about the shitty SPFL? Why? There'll be somebody in the league fucking one who I've never heard of.
Look behind you, and what does the title of the podcast say, Ewan?
Oh, shut up.
Did you think the answer was behind you as well? I thought that when you said that.
It's the big Scottish football.
What's the
podcast.
Question again?
Who's the longest serving manager in the SPFL?
It's like a top bin question, this.
Not really. I think it's quite common.
Shut up! Why are you saying that? You're giving a hint and a fucking clue to arsehole over there.
It's a bit harsh. I've not said anything.
You don't need to. Your face says it.
I thought I've got a lot of expression in my face. Expression.
God almighty.
Yeah.
I don't actually know the answer, Ewan, but I'm in the position where I don't need to. So you can go first.
Well, I'll go first because I didn't write anything down. I'm just going to say the name. I'm going to say Dick Campbell.
It's not Dick Campbell.
Dick Campbell just recently moved from Arbroath to East.
So is that a right answer?
No, before you. So it doesn't matter what he says. It doesn't matter what he says.
I know, but.
And I bet he's got it right.
Is it the guy for Spartans? His name's Dougie something. Dougie Payne or something?
Oh, that's the guy from Travis.
Is it?
However, I can't give you it, Stephen. It was Dougie Samuel. So you got
Dougie
right
Samuel.
Back,
I was half right, but it doesn't matter anyway.
Stephen, you're so funny. It was the guy from Travis.
He's been Spartans for about 12 years.
There we go. I knew it was the guy for Spartans. I just couldn't remember his name.
Oh no, it's just Spartans, but I said it was your boy from Travis.
Fucking.
Jambo
You're
tech.
So Jambo Tech.
I just get
Jambo
annoyed.
Tech.
Nobody takes it seriously.
What do you mean nobody takes it seriously?
It's on the chatting.
I take it seriously and I win every week.
Oh, there you go.
You
again.
Chat all the time.
How great am I just winning every week?
Aye, because you spit the dummy.
No, but you just need to shut up when you're doing it.
And then you're given, quite frankly, vulgar gestures when you do get a question right.
Vulgar
you did.
Gestures.
They were vulgar.
Giving you the finger.
Vulgar. What, you'd get arrested in some countries for that.
Would you?
Aye.
Well, good.
Well, I'd arrest
good.
You.
Good, it'd be worth it.
Right, anyway, I like your coat. It's more of a jacket, actually, it's not a coat.
That's not very nice, you're in.
Yeah, and all of your... It's a lovely jacket. Yeah. Give it back to John's family. Can't believe you stole a dead man's jacket. Right. This has been the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Thanks for watching, everyone. There goes Ewan with his jacket. And thanks for all your comments this week. Get involved as per usual. Leave your comments on YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel as well, please. And I'll be back next week. Ewan Cameron will not be here because Ewan Cameron's off on yet another holiday. What is he like, honestly? So someone else will be sitting in that seat. Hopefully they won't spit the dummy as much as Ewan. Or hopefully they do, actually. We'll find out next week. See you then. Bye-bye.